I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, I'd like to look at verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head, gave up the ghost. This morning, we are looking at the Holy Scriptures and the actual fulfillment of these precious words prayed by our Lord. John 17, 1, he said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now the Lord Jesus Christ now shall lay down his life for the sheep, suffering the immeasurable wrath of Almighty God's justice for the broken law that had been performed by his people. Now here he is, the one who will absolutely stand as their surety. The Lord had prayed, John 12, 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. So here we consider the glorifying of the Father upon the Son. And these words, as all scripture, but may we realize this morning, We're standing on holy ground. We're about to hear the exposition of the scriptures. There's nothing that stands above, takes the place of, stands equal to hearing the Word of God. And when we hear the Word of God, may we be found praying and asking, Lord, speak to me. Heaven and earth going to pass away. Not this word. This word endures forever. This word is the word by which every man, every woman is going to be judged. I mean, the Word of God is the standard. Life, death, set forth in the revelation of these scriptures. Now, I want us to notice first the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone may say, well, sure, he's the Lord, he's God. That's right. Remember, devils believe that. Demons believe that. The scripture says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. You know what that word sanctify means? Make holy. Now, how in the world are we going to make holy the Lord in our heart? Believe it, is what it's saying. Declare it. Set it forth in your heart. Here we are this morning. Now, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all things were completed. Jesus, knowing that all things were finished. What? The parting of his garments, the safekeeping of his mother, earthly mother, to the apostle that he loved. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Things that are recorded, things that are not recorded, things that we know and things that we don't know. Here's the comfort that we know, that Almighty God absolutely has finished all things required. There's no skeletons in the closet. Not for God's people. There's nothing that's not been taken care of. Nothing finished. He knew that all things were now accomplished because He's omniscient. He's the maker. He's the Lord. He's the sustainer of heaven and earth. And according to the divine revelation of Holy Scriptures, you say, how do you know? God said He did. The Lord said He did. The Scripture says He did. Jesus, knowing that all things demanded by God's law, all things that were needful for the establishment of righteousness before God, all things were now performed, executed, completed, everything. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now, here again, we understand something else here. That the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross was the fulfillment of everything that has been predetermined by Almighty God eternally. Before He ever came into this world, before He ever laid down His life, every part of everything was accomplished concerning the glorifying of Almighty God in the redemption of His people. Everything in His life was absolutely geared to, performed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Therefore, whatever He did was absolutely ordered by God and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. How many things were done that we don't know about? Well, look at the last verse of the book of John. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Last verse, John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What did He do? Everything. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He never ceased to be God, totally man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, made flesh, dwelt among us. He was God, He was man. And everything that He did as a man, everything that He did as Almighty God, done, finished. Listen to this. You talk about a Scripture that sets forth the absolute deity of God and the humanity of God. Mark 4:38-39. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now here's the Lord. He wasn't pretending. He was asleep. He was asleep. You know, if you're asleep and something's going on around you, you're not aware of what's going on around you. Now, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking this through while I'm saying it. He was asleep on the pillow, and they woke him up. He's a man. Was he not aware of what was going on? As a man, he was asleep. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. God, in human flesh, stood up and spoke to the wind and charged and admonished the wind, "You hush." And it did. What manner of man is this that speaks to the wind and it obeys him? God, man, there's no part of his humanity that is not absolutely as we are, except he was without sin. He was asleep, and they woke him up, and he spoke to the wind. Listen to this, the deity. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" He's omniscient. "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now listen to this verse. Luke 2:52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, can we enter in as human beings to increase in wisdom and stature? Yeah. He did too. He hungered. He slept. He marveled. He wept. He prayed. He rejoiced. He groaned. And here, he thirsted. He was thirsty. Now, you know, no scripture ever speaks of God thirsting. But the man, Christ Jesus, did. In his humiliation upon this earth, we have a Savior who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Have you ever gotten thirsty? Yeah, I have too. He thirsted. But he also, remembering and knowing that all things are now accomplished, made this statement, "I thirst." He was thirsty, and knowing that all things were now accomplished, he said, "I'm thirsty." Psalm 69:21, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Now listen to the wording of the scripture. This was written in Psalms hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever laid down his life on the cross. And it's written, Frank, in the past tense. "They gave me also gall, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." They gave me. The Father saw this crucifixion before the foundation of the world. This was all accomplished. And here it is, actually happening in time. They gave me something. Why? Because I was thirsty. They gave him vinegar after he made that statement, "I thirst." How beautiful is the exactness of the scriptures. You don't have to defend the scriptures. Somebody say, "Well, that's written in past tense." Well, that's because it's written exactly the way the Spirit of God moved upon men to write it. according to God's will and God's purpose. You say, yeah, but it didn't happen until later. You let God be true. Because I can't enter into all of the explanations of everything. Doesn't change one thing about it. Did God create the heavens? Was it 6 days, 7 days? What did was it 6 actual days, or is that metaphorical? Did it happen? You know, it wasn't really 24 hours. It was just, how did it happen exactly the way God did it? Well, yeah, but don't you think we ought to know? I don't. Ever how God did it, that's how He did it. And I'll tell you what I believe. Whatever God did, that was right. It was right. Almighty God, let God be true, right on time. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Right on time. Right on time. Now listen to this. 29 and 30. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Then Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it's finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now Matthew's account, I'll just read this to you, reveals that he was offered vinegar twice. Matthew 27:34, it says, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he wouldn't drink it. He would not drink. Mark's account says that the vinegar was mixed with myrrh, which is the same thing. And the effect of this, it said, I read the reason they did this was to numb the senses, to kind of like a, you know, anesthetic, or you just kind of make it where you just don't feel the pain. It was given to those often who are crucified and to render them insensible to the pain of death. And our Lord, knowing this, when he tasted that vinegar that was mixed with gall, he wouldn't drink it. The Lord had said, Mark 8:31, concerning his sufferings, he said, you know, the cup which the Father gave me, shall I not drink it? He was giving himself up to all of the pain, all of the suffering of the cross. And therefore, when the vinegar was first given to him, mixed with gall, with myrrh, he took nothing to numb the pain. And then in Luke 23:36, it records that first time also that he was offered vinegar. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. It was given in a mocking way. And then Matthew 27:48 records the second time they offered him vinegar. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. Obviously, that second time contained nothing but vinegar. The Scripture bears out when he tasted the vinegar with the gall, he would not drink it. He would not be numbed to the pain and the suffering of his people. He absolutely suffered everything that they would ever suffer that was due them because of their rebellion. He suffered the eternity of wrath by his one sacrifice for sin. I think about Scripture, and I've thought about this verse of Scripture so many times, and I still cannot enter into it. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth That rich man that died and went to hell, and Lazarus died and went to the bosom of Abraham, and that rich man, he could see, obviously, could see Father Abraham. He said, "Father Abraham, would you have Lazarus come by and just dip his finger? Here's a man that's going to be in hell forever. Would you have Lazarus just dip his finger in some water and just touch my tongue? I am in torment." Now, what was the difference in that man being in hell and Lazarus being in the bosom of Abraham? The grace of God. The grace of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one. And here is a man in torment, receiving exactly what he is due. And he will be there forever. Not in a trillion years or 100 billion trillion years. He will never, never get out. He'll be there forever. My mind just won't go that far. I don't know how far that is. It's forever. No reprieve. Not up for discussion. It's over. It's over. And it'll be over forever. Suffering, suffering, suffering. Weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. That which his people deserved. They tried to give him vinegar with gall. He wouldn't drink it. Wouldn't take it. But the scripture says, in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he drank that for the fulfillment of the scriptures. He drank it. Wasn't mixed with anything. Obviously, it was vinegar. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It's finished." That was the last thing. That was the very last thing. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It's finished. You know, eternity would be required, and then some. I guess, I don't know. To manifest the fullness of that statement. I mean, if all the books would be written of those things that the Lord did, and the world wouldn't contain them. What all did he do? Everything that was required. And it's finished. All the prophecies, all the things demanded by the law for redemption, all those things not only that were required to do, but those things that we omit to do, that we should have done, he omitted. Everything that set forth the types, all the types, I can name a few. I can see the Lord in the ark. I can see the Lord in the rock that was smitten, the water. I can see that. That brazen serpent that was raised, I can see that. I can see that. The tabernacle, you know, the beautiful robe on the priest, I can see all that. But how many others are there? How many other? I don't doubt for one second that everything in this world, I'm looking at a tree right there. I can see the tree. I can see the root. I can see us as the branches. But how many others? All things. Everything that the Father had given him to do, finished. And all of the suffering that his people ever deserved was over. What did he suffer on the cross? All of it. What I deserved for eternity. Everything that I or you that know him deserved an eternity of suffering. How much is that? He knew. Jesus knowing how he suffered and how little, Freddie, that's what you talk about, how little I think of it. Lord, I'm sorry. How little I thank you. And then the scripture says, after he'd received the vinegar, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, in closing, look at the order. Look at the order of how this was done. His spirit's departure from this earth was unique only to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the scripture says he gave up the ghost, here's the literal of this, and bowing his head, he delivered up the spirit. That's the literal. And bowing his head. His death was absolutely voluntary. No man has the power to just give up his spirit. The Lord says, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. The Lord said in John 10:17-18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Power to lay it down, power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. All power is given unto him that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. He has all power. And here's the Lord, absolutely bowing his head in submission to his Father, bowing his head and giving up the ghost. You know, if the ghost was taken, that's what Stephen, Lord, receive, take my spirit, is what he was saying. If the spirit left first, then the head would bow. There's nothing left to hold tell the muscles, hold the head up. Hold the head up. Spirit leaves, the head goes down. Not him. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ, in absolute submission unto his Father, did that which was pleasing. Honored the law. Fulfilled all the righteousness, finished all things, and knowing that all things were done, nothing else left, he said, I thirst, bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. You know, many that day saw not the beauty. Some did, some didn't. But none saw the completeness. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his final moments, did everything demanded by his Father. And now, having finished all things, this is what God's people have in him to look forward to. To hearing these words, everything demanded of them, the Lord Jesus Christ performed. And very soon, every believer shall hear these words, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Lord, have mercy and forgive us where we think not as we ought. But thanks be unto you that it is by the grace of God that you've saved us, kept us. For Christ's sake, amen.